It was a very famous wreck that occurred, shipwreck, off the coast of Ireland. The captain was known as one of the best captains of that day, and it really was a shock when the vessel went down. There had not been bad weather. There was no situation that explained why this large vessel should have shipwrecked. And so the interest was so great about it that they sent a diver down to see if they could find anything there. And as he brought different things up, he brought the compass that was on the deck. And inside the compass box was detected a bit of steel, which appeared to be a small point of a knife, a pocket knife. Evidently, the day before, he had been asked to clean that compass, and in doing so, a little piece of the tip had gone into that compass. And as a result, the compass had been thrown off just enough that the vessel veered to and went the wrong direction right into the rocks off of the coast of Ireland. In the two aspects of prayer we're going to look at here today, we have two areas that easily can cause us to have a life that crashes or wrecks as a believer. The one is sin that we just are not willing to deal with, or maybe it's not even detected because we're not walking close enough with him. And then Satan, in how he endeavors to tempt us and to deceive us. And these things, sometimes they seem so small, but they keep us from walking in the power of the Spirit, and our lives get off course, decisions are made, situations occur that can be very tragic if not settled. That's the beauty, by the way, of having a time, an hour with God every day, because the Spirit of God can identify these areas in our life, allow us to deal with them by His grace, and then get right back into a place that we're right in the center of God's will, and we are walking with Him. We have that clarity, and therefore, we are able to have the victory that we need. Now, folks, you know, God wants us to have victory surprised by defeat, not a life of defeat surprised by victory. We have a great salvation. But that has to be maintained by a very careful walk with God, and that is why your hour with God daily is vital. So let's look at the third and fourth section of the hour with God as presented in the Christ Walk Journal. That is the confession of sin and spiritual warfare. Confession of sin and spiritual warfare. Let's look first at what would be the third 5 minutes of our hour with God. And that is confession of sin. Allow God to convict of sin specifically and receive the full cleansing, thus allowing you into His presence. Let me read that again. Allow God to convict of sin specifically and receive the full cleansing, thus allowing you into His presence. After you have dwelt on the attributes of God, after you've spent 5 minutes then waiting on God and meditating on the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and allowing the reality of your God to be awakened by the Spirit of God in your life, you are then ready to allow God to work in this matter of dealing with sin in your life. So the first thing, obviously, we're going to look at here is confession of sin. And that means then that, first of all, we need to agree with God about our sin. We're all familiar with if we confess our sin. And this is dealing with our coming to the acknowledgement of the specific areas that we have transgressed against God. Psalm 139, verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, we're not speaking here about us trying to just humanly look at ourselves and all of our problems. Won't take long, you'll find a lot of them, okay? We're talking about things that have not been handled between you and God, and through material like I just gave you a few minutes ago, and by being in the Word, the Spirit of God during this 5 minutes can show wrong motives, pride, areas of self, areas of disobedience, unconfessed areas of the past, people that you need to deal with. In those lists, there are some of those things listed, and it's very helpful. I know a while back, God showed me something that I had just overlooked for a period of time, and it was a real blessing to get that cleared up. And there's great freedom that comes as the Spirit of God directs you through this 5 minutes of prayer. Dwight L. Moody said, "Unconfessed sin is unforgiven sin, and unforgiven sin is the darkest, foulest thing on this sin-cursed earth." That old crusty evangelist, he had it right. You know, folks, to go through a day with unconfessed sins is a terrible thing when we know the Lord and we have been forgiven of our sins for eternity. But you know, many believers rush into a day, do not allow God to work, do not deal with the issues of their life, and then wonder why they're off course, wonder why everything seems so pressured, why life seems so filled with doubts and problems. It's because we're not walking with God in the area of having a heart that is right with Him. So we should say what God says about sin. The word confess means that we say the same thing. We acknowledge the same thing that God says about our sin. We agree with God about it. Instead of denying that we sin, we are to admit and confess the sin. Only then can God really help us and do the work that He wants to do. It's amazing how we rationalize. We try to minimize. You see, confession isn't just admitting I sinned. Confession is saying what God says about that sin. And friends, sin has a lot of consequences in the lives of others and even in maybe hours and days that we have not been right with God. And so we need to realize that this thing that God is convicting us in is an important matter, and we need to agree with Him. In verse 8 of 1 John chapter 1, it says prior to the verse that we are quoting from verse 9, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." And so the light, that was the whole context here, of God's Word and the Spirit of God coming into our life needs to be allowed to come, and we need to, as He reveals to us, that is wrong, that's not been handled, not to run from it, or rationalize it, or try to minimize it. That's one thing we often do, rationalize about the importance of it. We instead need to admit we have sinned against God. We have sinned against that person, and we need forgiveness. Psalm 51:4, that great confession chapter or psalm there, after David had committed the sins that so hurt his monarchy, he says, "Against thee," speaking to God, "and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." We need to realize that that sin has been an affront to Almighty God. "Well, I was just a little irritated. Or, you know, I've been blaming that person, but I really haven't shown it. Or that was just 5 cents that I didn't take care of giving back. Or I said something about somebody else and really they didn't need to hear it, but you know, it wasn't really that bad." My friends, each of those things are sins. "Or I didn't really tell the truth. I embellished it a little bit." That's lying. And when we get to the place where we call sin, sin, we are now getting right to the place that God can work in our lives. You see, the great joy of having a time with God is to allow Him to deal with us right away, day by day by day. And then we can leave that time with God free. And as we're going to see in a couple of minutes, we are cleansed by the blood of Christ. And our relationship with God is restored. You know, if you have a genuine time every day, an hour with God, in which you spend that 5 minutes really being honest with God, friend, you will have 7 days a week of freedom and joy and blessing in your life. It is a glorious thing. And that's where victory can be maintained. Thomas Watson said, a child of God will confess sin in particular. An unsound Christian will confess sin by wholesale. He will acknowledge that he is a sinner in general. Now, folks, it's, you know, it maybe is okay to say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. That can be a starter, but that should not be where you end. And a Chinese evangelist used this illustration. A woman with a bundle of dirty washing and taken it to the riverside for the purpose of washing it, but some people around, so she was ashamed to open it for fear someone would see how dirty it was. So she just plunged the whole bundle in the water, jogged it up and down several times, and then went home with it. She did not have clean clothes. And my friends, Lord, I confess my sin in general is not what this is speaking about. If we confess our sins, our particular transgressions against God, we need to be very specific about them, remembering that we're going to see in a minute he will forgive us. But we have to be specific and not be afraid to be honest with God. There is no freedom, there is no peace, there is no cleansing until we say the same thing that God says about it. And what a freeing time. Folks, don't wait for a church service to get right with God. Don't wait for a special meeting to get right with God. 7 days a week, there ought to be an altar in which you bow before God there in your quiet time, and you are able to get freedom every day and even throughout the day when things come into your life. But not only do we need to confess our sins, as the first part of 1 John chapter 9 says, we need to believe something. And that is, if we do say the same thing about our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, folks, that verse is shouting ground. That means every prayer time, every service, every time you're dealing with things in your life, you can come out free. God does not hold this hammer over your head and make you go through all kind of penance for months and years because of what you've done. Now, there may be consequences. There may be things you have to do and some scars that come from it, but God is so gracious. If you're right with him and walking with him, he'll even take those consequences and turn them to good when you're right with God. And you can have the joy and peace of God the minute you're willing to be honest with God. Now, it's based upon, first of all, God's attributes. He is faithful and just. Now, how can he be just for a believer to forgive our sins? Because of Jesus. You see, Jesus Christ took our place on the cross, and my friend, every rotten sin from little, quote-unquote, to big, he suffered eternity for those sins. And Jesus Christ was judged of the Father, therefore the Father is just in forgiving us as a believer because we have been forgiven eternally, positionally by him, and based upon our position in Christ, he's just in forgiving us. And you can count on that. Now, sometimes Satan loves to come along and say, yeah, that one was bad. Well, it may have been bad, but he can still cleanse it and forgive you because he's just. Jesus did die. He did come out of the grave. You put your faith alone in him as your Savior, you're a child of God. And he is just. He is absolutely just to forgive you because of who he is, based upon the finished work of the cross. And he is faithful to do it every time. He never is too busy doing something else. He is focused on what his word says. And no matter how insignificant you may feel to God, you are not insignificant. And when you pray and you cry out in your heart there in the morning or maybe late at night and you're saying, God, forgive me, he hears you. He is a faithful God. And he is just to forgive you every time. Isn't that good news? Now, folks, I'm telling you, when you ask God to forgive you and you really mean it, and then you don't feel forgiven, you are now doubting who God is and what Jesus Christ did. Just as much as you have eternal security based upon Jesus and all that he's done for you and what the Word of God says, you can have absolute assurance in your forgiveness based upon the same things. And so he provides full forgiveness. Look back at the verse. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He forgives. Isn't it wonderful to be forgiven by somebody that you transgressed? And you can look in their eyes and know you're forgiven. And you are forgiven for a lifetime. Those kind of relationships are wonderful relationships. Well, our relationship with God is perfect. Not on our side, but on his side. And he's absolutely faithful and just, and he will forgive you from your sin. But you've got to say the same thing that God says about it. And he will forgive you, cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? All. Say it again. All unrighteous. You are cleansed. See, already your sins have been paid for. They are as far as the east is from the west. You are now living out in your flesh sin that breaks your relationship at that moment with God, and you want that relationship to be restored, but your sins have already been taken care of and you are cleansed. Now, but there's a further thought I want you to get, because it's important that when you finish that 5 minutes, you claim the forgiveness and you take the clean heart. And that is this: your new man, according to Ephesians 4:24, is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, when you were not right with God and you had not confessed that sin, you have, by your own will, allowed your flesh to be in control. But you're a new man. You're not controlled by the old man because it's not there. You are a new creation in Christ. So the minute you agree with God, by faith, you ask him to forgive you and you claim that forgiveness. He cleanses you by enabling you to live that holy and righteous life, which is the real you in your spirit. And the Spirit of God is able to do that. Folks, you can't be clean in the sense of our flesh will be flesh until we die. But when the new man is in control, folks, I'm living a holy life. Did you know that you meet people at times when they're walking in the Spirit, they're clean. I mean, they're clean. Sure, they got the flesh and that could easily bring them down, but if they're looking to the Lord, it doesn't have to bring them down. The Spirit of God, what's his first name? Holy Spirit. So when you are cleansed, you are accepting what Christ has already done for you. God forgives you based upon what Jesus Christ has done. And my friend, you start living a clean life. And you need to claim that cleansing. That is a thrill when you get a hold of that. And so when you finish those 5 minutes, you need to claim a clean heart. Now here's what Satan does. He comes along and whispers, did you really mean that? Is God really going to forgive that? Did you agonize enough? All of these kinds of things. My friend, it's a matter of by faith believing what the Bible says. This morning, I claimed the filling of the Spirit by faith. I claimed forgiveness by faith. God says so. My friend, if God says so, that's it. Doesn't matter how I feel. Doesn't matter what Satan says. It is fact. And you need to learn to finish those first 15 minutes, that 5 minute time, with an absolute confidence. I have been forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness. It doesn't matter how I feel or what Satan says, I claim it and I can go on now. And folks, that's a glorious thing to live that way. And that leads us then really automatically into spiritual warfare. Do you see why spiritual warfare is very key right here? because you need to live with that confident reality that you are right with God and that you are filled with the Spirit. You're ready now to take the next 45 minutes of that hour and do business with God that's going to change your life, that's going to change others' lives, and is going to change lives around the world as the Spirit of God leads you to pray. But you've got to realize that you are going to be in a spiritual battle, and that spiritual battle needs to be won at this point. So the next 5 minutes would be spiritual warfare. Take your stand by the authority of Jesus against the devil. Take your stand by the authority of Jesus against the devil. Now, several things here that you will find in your Christ Walk journal, but these points I do want us now to again meditate on. Remember, you are in a battle. Remember, you are in a battle. Reading recently of special forces of our country as they were in the major battle in Iraq the first time, and the big battles that they were going through, they emphasized over and over that every time they moved down roads, they went through the cities, they had to be totally, the entire group had to be on guard, and not, there could not be one letdown or it could cost them their life. Never knew when a sniper would be around. They didn't know an ID would come across their path. They didn't know what would happen. And so they had to realize that as long as they were in this situation, they were in warfare. No sitting down and just enjoying yourself for a minute, okay? Well, it's a little different in that our lives go on, but folks, we need to understand we are every moment of this life in a battle for Christ. And Satan wants to try to deceive us and hurt us. We'll see that in a minute. And so we need to always be on the alert, never careless in our lives. Now, Satan is on the attack. We are in enemy territory. And we even see this with Jesus. Think of the temptation of Christ at the beginning of his ministry. Think of the attack that he faced there at the end of his ministry, sweat great drops of blood in the garden. Think of the crucifixion itself, what an enormous battle of Satan, where Satan actually crushed his own head by having Jesus crucified, but Christ was facing that. And think even of the angels. Think of the battle in the heavenlies that Daniel chapter 10 tells us about. In 3 weeks, Gabriel and the prince of Persia were battling, and it was unseen to Daniel, but God allowed it to go on, and then Michael won that battle. So there is a spiritual battle going on even right now. And folks, there's probably a spiritual battle going on for this service right now, and we need to realize it. Thankfully, we are the victors, and we don't have to have a morbid fear of it. But let me make a statement that's very important here. A Christian who no longer is struggling against the world, the flesh, and the devil is a Christian who has fallen either into sin or into complacency. Satan's got you. You have unconfessed sin. You're living a self-willed life. So you're not being attacked. Satan's got you right where he wants you. Or just a complacent, apathetic Christian life. My friends, be encouraged. When you sense the battle, that means you're on the right track. In fact, wake up to the fact that every day that you're surrendered to God, there will be a battle, but there'll always be a victory. You know, it's exciting to be on a team that's always winning. It's exciting to be on an army that is always winning. Well, my friends, Jesus has won the battle, and even though there is a battle, we don't have to be afraid of it. If we're walking with God, if we'll start our day with this 5 minutes of spiritual warfare, we're on the winning side. I'm telling you, today God's going to do great things. I'm absolutely confident of it. The victory is won in prayer. And so we need to understand that this 5 minutes is very important. After we get to a place, we have the clean heart, we've accepted that, we have been right with God about that, then we are able to face the matter of the battle that we are in. And so Satan is constantly trying to figure out how he can cause God's people to fall. And there are a number of things that he does, and we don't need to be ignorant of them, as 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Well, let me just suggest a few things here that you need to be aware of as you're praying. He'll obviously tempt your flesh, areas of habit, areas of weakness. He's going to do what he can to throw things across your path. That's just going to happen. And you can say, Lord, lead us not into temptation. That's part of the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. He loves to oppress. That leads to depression. Whenever you sense pressure in your life, and you just say, where did that come from? And of course, as a pastor, any of you that are in any kind of genuine ministry, you'll have unexplained times, and all of a sudden you feel oppressed. And then the minute you realize this is not for any reason, not like there's a bunch of human circumstances causing this, that's Satan. And you know, if you spent time with God that day, you're going to be awake to that right away. You will not let yourself get into the trap of depression, because if Satan can't get you by a frontal attack on your lust and your problems and your sin temptations, he'll get you depressed, and in a state of depression, you'll fall. And that's his masterpiece. If he can't get you directly, he'll get you by getting you focused on yourself and being discouraged and feeling oppressed, therefore depressed. And you say, wait a second, I'm not going there. And you'll be able to just simply resist the devil, because earlier you have taken your stand against him, and God will give you great wisdom to overcome those kinds of thoughts. Boys often entrap and catch sparrows with a little simple device. They roll up a piece of paper into a funnel and stick it in the ground, and they'll put seeds at the bottom. So a little sparrow will come and see that, since the seeds are in there, and start jumping up and then pecking down. Their head will get down in there, and then they try to pull their head back up, and the way they have made the funnel, the thing constricts, and the sparrow is caught. He can't fly, he can't see, he can't do anything. Very simple little trap. And Satan just has all of these simple little traps, and we can't see right. We can't fly. We can't seem to resist. Another area is just straight out deception. Wrong information. I'm telling you, folks, be discerning. But you won't be discerning if you have not been involved in that time of spiritual battle in your time of the Lord. Listen, folks, the hour with God is not earning you credit with God. It is enabling you to walk with God. It is enabling you to be awake, to have discernment, to have what you need to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish that day. And so this is very important, that you are awake to error. Satan will give you wrong information about truth. There's all kinds of things in the airways. I tell you, folks, be careful too much going out there searching for things. It's better to search right here directly, because there's a lot of error out there. And then people will tell you stuff about people. People will tell you stuff that you should not hear. And when you are walking with God, the Spirit of God is able to say, alarm, alarm. Don't take that seriously. That's not right. That spirit wasn't right. You shouldn't have heard that in the first place. But I'm telling you, if it's been 2, 3, 4, 5 days and you've not really taken your stand in spiritual warfare and you've just sort of floated along in your Christian life, you'll fall for that. And it can really do you damage. And so we have to be careful about deception. Do you know Satan can come along and make us very apathetic? It's a spirit of apathy. Now remember, Satan cannot indwell a believer. Aren't you glad we are spirit-possessed? I cannot be satanically possessed. And I'm so thankful for that. But I'm telling you, if I'm in the flesh, I can be satanically tempted, oppressed. And there's a lot that Satan can do. He's a master psychologist, and he knows how to get mankind. And there can be attacks, and if we're not on guard, even though he cannot possess us, he can influence us more than we know. And so we have to take our stand against him. And so Satan can come along and make you feel very lethargic. Now, sometimes that's just your own fault, okay? It's called character, lack of sleep, bad use of time. Okay, we won't go into that. That's for another message. But there are other times that unexplainedly, wait a second. I'm about ready to do some things for God, and this is keeping me from it. This is not of God. And you can take your stand, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And we certainly see this all around us. So we got to understand, we cannot oppose Satan ourselves. We do not have the power to oppose Satan. We are created lower than the angels. He has more power on this earth than we do. He's supernatural. He is not divine, not even close to being divine. He's a created being like we are, but he has greater powers. But two things you need to remember. Number one, we are indwelt by the God of heaven, the Spirit of the living God, in our spirit. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so we need to realize that this world will defeat us unless the one who is in the world, the one who is in us defeats the one who is the God of this world. In fact, it's thrilling if you take, we just went through the study of Ephesians. You look in Ephesians 1:19, you find four words for power there. Then you go to the spiritual warfare section in Ephesians chapter 6, and three of those four words are used in our ability to battle Satan through the armor of God, to withstand him. So how can we then take our stand? How can we, as we realize, I'm right with God now, I need to take my stand against Satan. I want to go through this day being armored with the armor of God, Ephesians 6. I want to have the discernment that comes from the Holy Spirit. Well, several things that we need to understand. We need to recognize the devil is defeated. The devil is defeated. 1 John 8, 3-8. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Friends, Satan is the god of this world, but he's not the god of the believer. He's defeated. He has been crushed at the cross. When we are spirit empowered, we are living in union with the spiritual reality of the kingdom of God. We are on the winning side. I don't have to go to bed worrying about Satan. I can get up in the morning and battle and know that day I have the power to see God give victory. Thank God he has been crushed under the foot of my Savior. I'm part of the body of Christ. Jesus is my head. And under our feet, Satan will be crushed. Not my human feet. But as a child of God in union with him, then it's under my feet. So you got to get in that framework. Colossians 2:15. Having spoiled principalities, ruining them, principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, in the cross. My friends, I can't imagine what it was like with the forces of Satan when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and all of a sudden Satan woke up to his spiritual inability to see what was happening, and he cried out, he had just been crushed by the cross. He had lost his authority over mankind. Jesus had won the victory. Hallelujah. And that's what we're claiming, is that victory. I've already quoted Romans 16:20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. So we need to realize that Satan is defeated, and then we need to realize the position of authority that we are in. I quote these, all of these verses I quote, they're in, most of them are in your Christ Walk journal, Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now let me stop right here, folks. When you're having your prayer time, it's important that you realize I am spiritually in Christ. Christ is in me through the sealing and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I am joined in union to him. The scripture here says in Ephesians 2:6 that I am actually, literally, spiritually seated in Jesus at the right hand of the Father. Folks, we're the body of Christ, and every Christian here, you are joined to the one who is at the right hand of the majesty of God upon all on high. You have that new position because of your trusting in Christ. Folks, that's thrilling. We are not helpless people with Satan roaring around looking so victorious. We are seated above him. In fact, it goes, you go back to chapter 1, verse 21. I usually quote it this way. I am sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, who is far above all principality and power, might and dominion. Those are the different categories of angelic and satanic powers. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but in also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and given him and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. One of my prayers is, folks, our church needs to be the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Folks, I am seated with Christ, who is above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and they are under his feet. Therefore, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Now, the point is, during that time of prayer, you get on biblical ground. It's because it's so. When you got saved, you're in Christ. When you were saved, Christ is in you. Now abide in him. Awake to that reality. You have just got right with God. Your sins have been forgiven. You are claiming the clean heart, which means now that your new man, through the power of the Spirit of God, is living, and therefore he is joined fully in fellowship with Jesus, who's seated at the right hand of the Father, and you claim that position in Christ. So Satan's defeated, and you claim your position in Christ of authority. I'm telling you, it'll change your view for the day. It'll change your attitude about everything. You're not helpless. You are joined to the one who is the victor. But we must exercise our will. And so we need to resist the devil. Resist the devil. James 4:7, most of you could quote it. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, my friends, we need to exercise our will. That means, if we've really gotten right with God, the word submit means I'm on God's side. I agree with you, Lord. And usually at this time, it may have said it already, but I'll say it again. Lord, I am claiming the filling of the Spirit of the Lord. I have no power in myself. But based upon my position in Christ, based upon the authority of Scripture, James 4:7, based upon the precious blood of Christ, I resist the devil. And the Bible says, he will flee. Not he might flee if you say it loud enough or if you mean it enough. No. Based upon the truth of God's word, he will flee. Just like you got to believe he'll forgive and he'll cleanse, you've got to believe he will flee. Friends, he will flee. He is a murderous foe. He's got power, but you have God. And when you take your stand fully with surrender, that's why, folks, to live an unsurrendered life, I can't understand why we would do that. Why live helpless under Satan's feet instead of being with the God who has Satan under his feet? But Christians do it all the time, and you stand back and you see the heartache, the disaster, the problems, and you say, oh, would they not wake up to what they have in Christ? That's why an hour with God every day is transforming, because it causes you to properly think through your position in Christ. So you need to take your stand for your life. I take my stand as the father of my family for my entire family, and I take that seriously. I take it for the church here, your group, whatever ministry you have, but I say as a God-given overseer for Falls Baptist Church, I resist Satan for this church and for all those connected with it, and I believe that makes a difference. Under the authority of Jesus Christ, I take it because I love you all, and I want you to be free from the power of Satan. We need to take our stand for our community. We are the lighthouse in this place. This is the body of Christ. We have the right to claim our community. And then we need to resist him for our state. We need to see churches started, and for our country and for the world. Isaiah 64:1. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, and thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. I quote that verse, and then from Acts 2, that God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, that Satan would be defeated, and that God's purposes would go forward. Now, my friends, do you realize what those 10 minutes mean? After you've spent 10 minutes really getting hold of the attributes of God and being still and know that I'm God, waiting upon Him as to who He is as the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, you elect then that God who's faithful and just, forgive you of your sins, convict you, deal with it, be honest, don't run from it, don't rationalize, be confronted, and then do whatever God says you have to do about it. You finish that 5 minutes with a clean heart, and now you're ready to just claim the scripture simply. Victory over the evil one, and my friend, you'll have victory. Because God says so. And I tell you, it's an amazing thing. Oh, you'll see the spiritual battle. Doesn't mean you won't be in the battle, but you'll see it. And see, he's a deceiver. If you can see, that's error. You can see that's oppression. You can see that's depression. You can see that this is this lethargic way. That's not just human. That's supernatural. And immediately you can resist the devil, because that day God promised you you would have victory, and he'll lead you to victory. I promise you that. I guarantee that. Our God will not leave you alone. Greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. Friends, how much have you been going into the day unarmed? Do you start every day free, cleansed, forgiven, nothing on your heart? Right with God. Are you really right with God? I mean, really doing what God surrendered, rejoicing. You're his servant. You're able to be like the Apostle Paul, the bondslave of Jesus Christ. Then how often have you really just said no to Satan, stood your spiritual ground, and claimed your position in Christ? Friends, I plead with you. I plead with you. Do not start your day without the victory that can only come through Jesus Christ. Let's bow for prayer. As we bow before the Lord, you'd say, Pastor, I'm a believer here. I'm so thankful I have that standing in Christ. But I have to admit that I go far too often into the day without true confession of sin, without knowing I'm spirit-filled, without knowing I'm right with God. And I certainly go too often into the day not having stood my biblical ground against the evil one and letting the Spirit of God control me. And I realize, for the cause of Christ and for my own life and for those around me, that is treacherous ground to be on. And if I'm too busy to do that, I'm too busy. You'd say, Pastor, I need to incorporate thorough confession of sin and thorough spiritual warfare into every day. And by the grace of God, I'm going to confront this need in my life because I know I need it. And right now I'm confessing the fact that I haven't been doing it as I ought. And Pastor, I would ask that you really pray for me, because I realize this is vital for victory, and I really do want victory. With heads bowed, would you just slip your hand up if that's your heart cry here today? I really mean this. I'm going to do it. God bless you. Amen. Maybe there's someone here today, and if you were to die, you don't know what would happen to you. You don't know if you would be in eternity with Jesus. You would hope so. Friends, those who are truly saved know that they have eternal life. Why? Because it's what Christ did, not what we do. You simply have to put your faith in him. And you say, Pastor, I've been burdened about this, and I would appreciate your prayer for me. My heart was stirred as I thought about prayer, but I realize there's a need deep within my heart. I'm not certain of my eternal destination. I need to understand this, and I'm going to be honest, just like all these other people were. Would you pray for me also? Would you just slip your hand up? I'm not going to point you out. I'll just pray for you here in general. Yes, God bless you. That's wonderful. You may put your hand down. Anyone else? God's working in my heart. I just need to be honest. I don't know what would happen. I'm not sure. I'm a child of God, and this is important. Would you pray for me? Anyone else here tonight or this morning? Yes, God bless you. Amen. Well, Lord, would you work in hearts? Lord, this is very important. What we just talked about can make the difference in hundreds of people's lives, in sin being conquered, in just families being filled with your power and presence. Lord, it's not some nice little idea. These are critical parts of what you laid out in the model prayer. And Lord, I pray that you will just really stir us about our need to walk with you. I pray for these that admitted they weren't certain of their salvation. Would they have the courage by your grace to come and get the help they need right now? Lord, may they not delay. Would you just work mightily in their lives, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.